This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, so the masjid asked me to put forward some points that they want to implement in response to the coronavirus spread and the things that we should consider from a fiqh point of view, which should be applied both in this masjid and then in all masajid actually. So this is an advice which is the general one, which is going out to the rest of the masajid as well. And all of these scenarios, they allow us to remind the Muslims, ourselves, of our responsibilities, not just from an obligation point of view, but the things that we should be practicing anyway, especially from the sunnah. It's an opportunity to learn and to take a reminder. Now, this coronavirus is not something which is obviously brand new. It's been a few months now. And actually also the coronavirus is not, or COVID-19, is not something which is a deadly killer like the SARS or the MERS or the Ebola or whatever. It's not the actual virus that we're so worried about. Let alone the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sends down another way that we can become ill and we can eventually pass away from. There are many ways out there that happens. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying every day. That's not the issue or the concern. We accept the qadr of Allah, and we are now establishing the qadr of Allah, how we respond to these trials and these tests. The reason that we're worried, the reason that we're panicking, is because, not because it's a killer. The disease itself is not a killer. It's a destroyer of a national health system. That's the reason that we're worried. The number of people that it will hospitalize at one time is something that no country can cope with. And that itself and the impact of that on those people who are ill otherwise, or who need emergency help otherwise, or who need important operations otherwise, they would then have to be put on the back burner, which means it really becomes a threat to the general population. So therefore, even though as a matter of day to day, we can see it as a light issue, not very serious issue. Some people are even joking about it. And yes, it's nothing more than a flu or a cold. Actually, there is a very serious consequence for some people in our community, and especially our elderly. Now, of course, this is being spoken about with respect to the masjid, which has the majority of its people that come to it regularly, the elderly. And so I'm doing this because the masjid sees the protection of its elderly as a priority. And so I want everybody to listen very carefully. The Prophet ﷺ has made the prayer in the masjid one of the most blessed and rewarded acts. Not just for the sacrifice that goes into attending in difficult mornings and late nights, but because it's a sign of iman and the amount of ajr and the amount of benefit that one takes when they attend the masjid. However, according to the majority of scholars, it is not obligatory to pray your prayers in the masjid. It is a sunnah according to the majority of the imams. Therefore, if any single person believes that they could be ill or might have the indicators of coronavirus, it is not only not obligatory to attend the masjid, rather it is obligatory upon you to stay at home. There is no basis for someone to think that they are more religious or more muttaqi or salih by coming to the masjid and then putting at risk the other people in the masjid. This is a very, very important point. To the extent that even the single most obligatory action that you must do in the week in the masjid, which is the Jum'ah prayer, you are also obligated to remain at home and pray Dhuhr instead if you are indeed suffering from the symptoms or have been diagnosed with coronavirus. This is not some aib, this is not some shame or humiliation. This is public self. This is public safety. This is part of the health of the community, and this is Islamic response. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually prohibited people who would eat garlic to come to the masjid. He actually said, let the people who eat garlic not come to our jama'ah. And that's just because he doesn't want the smell to disturb people, let alone those who then come who are actually a danger and a problem. Now, as I said, the fatality rate in the elderly and those who are immunocompromised and those who are ill and those who have diabetes and so on, this is a higher percentage amongst our community. The Muslims who are ethnic in the majority, they have a higher tendency to have these illnesses. So we, as a percentage, are more likely to have problems because of this than other populations. And so we do need to also remind ourselves of the various etiquettes of our normal day-to-day life. So for example, that you're hearing a lot about the washing of hands. A lot of people are saying, you know what, alhamdulillah, we're Muslims, we do that every day, we make wudu, so we're safer. You don't understand what's being said. 5 times a day washing their hands is not what's being recommended by the government. The idea here is that because people have a tendency to touch, pick their nose, rub their eyes, touch their mouth, combing through their beard, you only realize this once you stop doing this. We are very physical with our fingers. And so you will then transfer that onto your hands, and you will then be touching surfaces and touching, shaking hands and so on and so forth. And the virus at the moment, it is not clear how long it lasts and on what kind of surfaces and on what kind of temperatures. This is not the Bahamas. There is no reason for anything to evaporate due to the heat. It's going to remain on surfaces, hard surfaces, soft surfaces. We're not sure how many hours it can remain. And therefore, we have to be very careful with respect to how we think the sunnah is. So for example, we should revisit the concept of shaking of the hands. The shaking of the hands is not actually the issue here, right? That's why you see there's not a focus on the shaking of the hands, but on the washing of the hands. Because a person can shake their hands with all the people who are infected as much as they want. If you don't touch one of your membranes that takes it into the body, then you're not going to have a problem. But you will spread it to someone else who will do that. And so for us to ask you to calm down on shaking the hands or to stop shaking the hands is also something quite acceptable. In actual fact, I want to remind myself and yourselves as well, that it is not a necessary sunnah per se of the Prophet ﷺ to shake hands. He would praise people who would shake hands and would maintain in that position until the sins would come apart. But he ﷺ, his actual sunnah was to say assalamu alaikum, and other people would say wa alaikum salam. Let alone the concept of hugging, let alone the concept of kissing on the cheek and so on. These are social customs which are allowed in the Sharia, but not for one second should you think this is an Islamic greeting. It's not Islamic to insist on shaking one's hands, hugging other people, kissing one's people. And during this time where it's difficult for us to adjust in how we're touching ourselves and how we're spreading this condition, it is good advice for us to reduce the shaking of hands and the hugging and the kissing. This is something which is good advice and something which is allowed in the Sharia to bring a halt to for a temporary time. The other thing which is very important is this misunderstanding of what should happen when we cough or sneeze. Now, unfortunately, as you know, as not just Muslims, but ethnics generally, we have a very bad attitude when it comes to coughing and sneezing, burping, all this kind of stuff. Especially we know so much in the masajid that we're standing with people who are all over the place. And it's not acceptable, actually. Especially when you see the Prophet's actions, the hadith that speak about the sneezing of the Prophet in the Aqsa and Nabi Wada yadahu aw thabahu ala fihi. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, it says that he would put his yad, and I'll come back to that in a second, or his thawb, which means a garment or cloth of any sort, upon his mouth. In the other narration, upon his forehead. And in no narration do we have, which is authentic, more authentic than these narrations, the hand or the palm, the kef itself. And I want you to know that any narration that has the mention of the kefain, the two hands or one hand, you know, like the idea that you sneeze into your hands like this, it is not more authentic than the hadith which talk about the clothes and the hand. The yad in Arabic is from here until here. The practice of the Prophet ﷺ is not to soil the hands, let alone the right hand. It would make no sense for the Prophet ﷺ, when he's using a right hand for eating and for shaking and for all of the good things, to sneeze into and to dirty his hand. And likewise, the idea of the cloth makes it clear that the sunnah is to sneeze into one's shoulder or into one's forearm like this, or to use something which replaces this. The clothes of the Prophet ﷺ were very loose and very little. And so anything that could be used, you know, the narration of Ahmed that talks about the forehead is referring to this. Look at my sleeve. If you look at some of the Sudanese-style sleeves or other sleeves, if I put my hand on my forehead and I sneeze, I'm actually sneezing into this. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is the interpretation of this hadith, that we shouldn't be sneezing into our hands either, unless you have in your hand ready your tissue, your handkerchief, and you're able to isolate it and make sure that it doesn't come into contact with anything else, then this is fine. But otherwise, you keep your hands clear, so that if you do by mistake cough or whatever into your hands, you're not then spreading it every time you touch surfaces and so on. The masajid have now started a protocol, alhamdulillah, of increasing their cleaning of the surfaces that can spread this infection. So the masjid is also asking those, because you know that there are shortages for antiseptic wipes and so on and so forth. So if you do have extra and you come to the masjid and you are going by and you see a surface and you wipe it, this is a good ajr for you. It'd be something that would be nice for you to do. The cleaners will be doing it as a course for themselves. Keep increasing the washing of your hands and watch the videos that you see released by the public health services to learn how to wash your hands properly. Also understand that this what we're talking about is not going to stop this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that nothing will affect us illa ma katab Allahu lana, except that which Allah has already written for us. This has happened before historically in this world and to the Muslims as well. We know that containment and quarantine is an Islamic concept. To try to protect ourselves is an Islamic concept. To not be worried about the condition is an Islamic concept. And to accept the consequences is an Islamic concept. But to protect our weak is a requirement. And I also want to add that some of the masajid are suggesting, and I think it's a good idea, that the elderly themselves, and by that we mean the front row, that they start to bring their own musallas, the janamaz, which should be used and becomes theirs and theirs alone. And the reason for that is that maybe, unfortunately, with this virus, the symptoms are not very clear at the beginning. So it can be an incubation period. When you're reading about this incubation period of 14, 20 days, 8 days, what it means is that a person is ill, but they're not suffering from any symptoms, and they are spreading it. So there will be people attending the masjid who look okay, and they are spreading it. Now, if they're praying in sajda, and they're in the sajda, and they're making tasbih, and sometimes people make it forcefully, and so on, sometimes people cough, we do not know how long the surfaces are keeping this germs. Now, it's a balance between going too extreme and a balance of doing nothing. You know, as the saying goes, that before the event, everything seems panic and extreme, and then after the event, everything seems inadequate, right? So that event is going to come very soon. In a couple of months, this entire country will be overrun by this. Our aim has got to be to minimize the number of elderly that are hospitalized as a result. The majority will just get normal ill and then get back to normal health. This is not going to go away, by the way. Yani, we believe, yani, in the medical industry, that this will become the fifth of the five seasonal flus, cold, influenza, and so on. It will become normal, but by then, vaccines will be available to vaccinate the elderly. What we can't have now is a large population of elderly becoming ill. So I hope that you understand this advice. This is my advice to myself and everybody else. There is not a requirement for you to shake hands. Please reduce that. Say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah instead. If you feel that you might have the symptoms, please stay at home and please avoid the rest of your family. And be more aware that this idea, you know, a lot of people, they're very proud of their beards, for example, always stroking, always touching. Start becoming super aware of this and reduce that anyway. That's a good habit anyway. That's the ajib things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these trials down to remind us of the things that we should be doing anyway. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.